Today on Real Radio.
And Paul said, you mark them. You mark them out. Why? Because false prophets, as we shall see this morning, deceive and ultimately are used by Satan to go after the souls of men. What's the big deal?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his timely series that addresses Bible prophecy. We've already seen what Scripture says about the instability in the Middle East. Now, one fact is that very little has changed for many thousands of years. Wars and conflicts have occurred in the region since the days of old. And here we are in the 21st century, and Israel and the followers of her Messiah are despised all over the world. So much so that Judeo-Christian faith and God's written word are under attack like never before. I'm sure you'd agree. But Jesus said to the Father, your word is truth. And it seems that the more attacks Scripture endures, the more it proves itself to be true. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in a lesson called The 21st Century Christian.
Sunday night you would have been involved last Sunday night in an actual historical revelation, in the sense that a message was hosted here last Sunday night with renowned expert Jay Smith and regarding apologetics, and it's about to hit YouTube worldwide, and it is amazing what's going on. It has shaken the Islamic community, and scholars around the world, Islamic scholars, are looking at this undeniable data that has come out of Islamic research that has and will continue to undermine completely Islamic theology. It's remarkable. And I have no doubt, as Jay, I was talking in this morning, we have no doubt that it's going to lead to the salvation of millions, if not a billion, Muslims around the world. Specifically, he thinks it's going to start with the women. It's going to start with the women of Islam because of the data. And look, this is Islamic data. This is not Christian data. This is data that has now been discovered by a series of archaeological discoveries, and it is absolutely awesome. So if you know any Muslim people, you need to get last Sunday's message, and you need to get last Sunday night's message and understand it and disseminate that out to your Muslim friends, because they are going to come and talk to you about who Jesus is and how do I get saved, because it is absolutely awesome. Well, listen, today we embark upon a message in our series, and here's the title. Jot it down if you would. It is this: The 21st Century Christian. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The 21st Century Christian. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that sound like? And that's us. So who are we? Who are we to be in the 21st century as believers? And in the midst of this, there'll be sprinklings, I should say, of a little bit of updates of what's happened in the world, because you and I are living in the 21st century. 21 centuries since the coming of Christ. And you and I are here, and we're awaiting the return of the Lord, but until he comes, we're to be very busy about our Father's business. Isaiah 46, beginning at verse 9, this is what God says. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Christian, you and I have something, as I often say to you, to boast about that nobody else on the planet has the opportunity. And that is that our God is not only the one true saving God, he's the God of history, he's the God of the future, he's the God of archaeology, he's the God of all the sciences, as we'll see more of this morning, but he is the God who alone has the ability, and you ought to mark this down, because the gods of the cults cannot do what I'm about to say. He has the ability to reveal to us what is going to happen in advance in such detail that he says, if anyone claims to be a prophet and says something that does not come to pass, he said they are to be not only rejected, but in the Old Testament era, they were to be stoned. In the New Testament era, they are to be rejected. We just turn from them. And Paul said, you mark them. You mark them out. Why? Because false prophets, as we shall see this morning, deceive and ultimately are used by Satan to go after the souls of men. What's the big deal? Living in the 21st century as Christians, I'm praying that you and I would be armor clad like never before. This doctrine of God knowing the future, and we study it, is called eschatology. That is the biblical science of studying God who reveals the future. You guys should know by now that nearly 27% of your Bible, imagine that. Imagine dividing up your Bible and one quarter of your Bible is given over to God telling the future for you to study. Nobody else can do this. The Book of Mormon cannot do this. The writings of the Jehovah's Witnesses cannot do this. Buddhism and Hinduism don't even attempt it. And Islam cannot do it. The Bible does it. That's why when something goes on in the world, like it is right now in Syria and soon in the Middle East, no one calls Islamic clerics or Mormon theologians and asks them, what's going to happen next? What does the book say about what's going to happen in the Middle East? Did you know that? Everybody calls, or the media calls, people like Dr. Ed Heinzen or David Hawking or Tim LaHaye or Jerry Jenkins or some of those others, or Mark Hitchcock. Amazing things. The Bible. It's the Bible, and it's awesome. Three themes we'll look at this morning. Mark them down if you care to. We'll look at them in the points in a moment as we need to. Number one, we'll look at this. According to God, he has declared, and he alone has declared, that he tells the future in advance. Number two, we'll see that what is happening in the world right now has a massive significance influence on you and I living our lives as Christians in the 21st century. And thirdly, we're going to see that the prophetic biblical doctrines of the Bible expose false teachers, false prophets, and false religions. And you might say this morning, well, what do I care? I just want to have my little tea with my Bible and a flower, and I don't want to get into that stuff. Can't. Too late. You were born in the wrong century. This is the 21st century, and it's marked by deception, false prophets, and false religions. And the Bible says you are to know and to discover how you should respond to them and how to identify them. I marked a few things down. I'm sure you can add to this list, but being a Christian in the 21st century to me means this. Number one, we would see we are seeing a massive decline in marriage and family. Genesis, I would say then, is under attack. You and I are living in a time when humanism and secularism is controlling now the areas of power. You and I are also living in a time, hello, like today, of wars and rumors of wars. Wow. By the way, the Bible says that's only going to heat up more and more as we approach the end times, deeper into the end times. You and I are living at a time, listen to this, when logic and reason is no longer making sense to a lot of people. Did you know a lot of people in America, California, the world for that matter, they think everything's going great. Every time there's a new decision that affects your life for the negative, there's a whole crowd cheering saying, this is awesome. That ought to wake you up, right? Amazing. And then also I wrote this down, that you and I are living at times when lies have become easier to believe than the truth. Lies are certainly more convenient. And the internet is full of lies. They look good. Oh, they're wrapped in great graphics. They're the syntax, the sentence, the paragraph looks good. You can't even trust pictures anymore. Did you know that? Did you know just recently Iran revealed a new fighter plane that is the most advanced fighter plane in the world? Did you know that? It is absolutely, it can do everything and anything. Did you know it was discovered to be an internet hoax by the Iranian government? That the model that the guy was sitting in and all the government officials walked around it, looked at it, it was made out of wood. It was a mock. It was fake. And it's all over the web that Iran's got the most state-of-the-art fighter jet ever created. And if you don't have a trained ear or eye to what's going on, you would say, wow, isn't that fantastic? That's amazing. It's fake. We live in an amazing time, church. Listen, why should we be concerned as Christians living in the 21st century? Well, because, listen, it matters how we conduct ourselves in this life. It really does matter. Because I know there's a lot of Christians who don't want to get into this topic. They don't really want to come here this month. Because they just don't want to be reminded of this stuff. But listen to what Peter has to say. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, in other words, the world is going to burn up someday, what manner of persons ought you to be? Well, number one, holy in our conduct. Look at that. Number two, conducting ourselves in godliness. Number three, this is awesome, looking for, and number four, hastening the coming of the day of God. Every believer, see, if you guys were really right on, you would have went, amen. Did that veiled insult kind of wake you up a little bit? Are you guys with me? We are to be living in such a way that God uses us to announce Jesus is coming and that there's a termination of all this stuff. So here we go. Point number one. The 21st century Christian, mark it down. We are expected to know God's word better now. Can I say better now than ever before? The Christian today, isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit should walk up to the Christian today, walking in and out of any church, and the Holy Spirit should be able to say, asking us a question, and we as Christians should be able to respond better to a biblical issue of life better now than at any other time in the last 21 centuries. Did you know that? Right now. We've got more Bible, more access. Do you have it on? Do you have your Bible right now with you? I have my Bible with me. I also have my Bible on my phone. I have Bible on CD. I have Bible on DVD. I have Bible on MP3. You can't get away from the Bible. Listen, our age should mark the fact that we know the Bible more now than any century ever. And I just want to ask you this question. Do we? Is the church known and marked as knowing the Bible better than any other time? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Well, how so? How can we know the Bible better than ever before? And why should we? Mark it down, chronology. Chronology. Chronology is in our favor. When I mention the word chronology, I think you know what I mean by that, but it's rooted in the Greek, Latin derivative also has been brought before us, chronos in Greek. You know what it means, time. Time. Time is in our favor. Do you guys remember Mick Jagger?
Time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Remember him? Have you seen him lately? Time has not proven to have been on his side. The guy looks like he's 150 years old, still rocking, still rolling, right? But that song, time is on my side. That is not true unless you are a Christian. Time is on our side as Christians. Well, how so? Listen, chronology is in our favor. And it's an amazing thing. Ecclesiastes 3:11, you ought to mark it down. It's a great verse. It says that God has planted eternity in the human heart. We dwell, every human being, believer or non-believer, has a thought, has a sense regarding eternity, about living forever. Chronology matters. Time matters. But for the Christian, it is absolutely true. And it is an awesome thing to think about. Time has given you and I as Christians more opportunities. We're in the 21st century. Isn't this fantastic? We just heard that message I was talking about where time now is exposing the fallacies of Islam. And it's coming down. Christianity, time has always been in our favor. The more archaeology, the more investigation, the more deliberation, the more debate, the more arguing. Christianity comes out stronger. It comes through the fire of criticism and comes out stronger. That is your theology. That is your God. That's your Bible. Aren't you glad about that? That you don't have to worry and be fearful that somebody might find something in some basement in Brooklyn that destroys your theology? It's not going to happen. It's not. You are so firm. Look at our enemies to our scripture do us justice. They do us better. Time exposes the truth. It works in our favor as Christians. Shouldn't surprise us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells us, you know this, at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, referring to Jesus. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. And listen, Everlasting Father is how it reads in the English, Prince of Peace. But the Everlasting Father, Jesus is not the Father. The word means Jesus is the authority, the ruling governor over time. Jesus, listen, it's awesome declaration that the Son governs the conduct of eternity, and time, physical time, in our temporariness as humans, did you know time's going to come to an end someday? And then eternity continues on. Eternity's always there. And in between eternity is our time zone where you and I live. And the Bible says Jesus is the governor of all of it. You're Jesus. And that revelation comes, as I said, from the book of Isaiah nearly 3,000 years ago. That's a long time. And that's exactly what we understand. Listen, the 21st century Christian is to know God's word better than before. Look, by discovery. Discovery is to our advantage. What does the created universe have in common with the biblical prophecies of the Bible? You ought to ask yourself that question. What does the created universe? You see, people say, oh, Bible prophecy doesn't matter to me. Stop. Think. What does the created universe around you, in fact, you yourself, and the solar system, for that matter, the cosmos, plural, the universes and universes, what do they have in common? You say, I can't even begin to think what they have in common. They both have the same argument as to who its creator is. In the Bible, the observable physical universe that you and I have contact with, and the one that is outside our influence, space and time, and Bible prophecy, it's the same God, and he speaks with perfect harmony regarding both these things. It's the same author. You wouldn't be surprised if you read a series of books and it sounded somewhat like it was coming from the same person, because it's the same author. God is the same author. That's important for us to understand, and I'll show you why in a moment. The God who says, the God of the Bible, who says, for example, Israel will become a nation again in one day, Bible prophecy. Notice, Israel will become a nation again in one day. That means Israel was once a nation, they will stop being a nation, and then they'll be a nation again, and it will happen not in a month, not in a week, not in a year, in one day. God, the same God that said that in the Old Testament also said this, watch this, because that's Bible prophecy what I said a moment ago. Are you guys with me? Okay, listen, the same God who spoke that Bible prophecy speaks to our observable universe. How so? Leviticus 17:11. Hello? Leviticus 17:11. What are we going back? Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. We're going back nearly 5,000 years ago. Here it is. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Why? Because it is the life, the blood flow is the life of anything. The Bible says nearly 5,000 years ago that the foundation to sustain human life, and you say, what are you making this a big deal for? Everybody knows this. Listen, up until about 400 years ago, we didn't know that. The scientific world did not know that. They didn't even think of that. Did you know that? In fact, the last thing before we found out scientifically that Leviticus 17:11 was true was that scientists believed back in those days that air, because they noticed if you choke something, it died. And they said, well, then air, this, is what sustains life. And they believed that for years, and so they mistreated a lot of people's illnesses back in those days. And then science discovered what? It's not air, it's blood. It's blood. Guess what was waiting? The Bible was like this. Oh, you guys, come on. Must I take my time to see this happen? The Bible was waiting for science to catch up to what the Bible had already said. You ever think of that? Tell your kids that while they enter school. The Bible's waiting for true scientific discovery, not make-believe. A lot of make-believe going on. Listen, it's the same God who in Isaiah 40:22 says, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Did you hear that? The circle of the earth. There are still religions preaching that the earth is flat. Did you know that? Google it. Religions that, not now, later. There are religions today that believe the earth is flat. Listen, Christopher Columbus was considered to be an idiot because he said it's got to be round and it's got to be a ball. Scientists before that great explorer said, you know what? In fact, there are scientists who are condemned by even the Catholic Church of old because they said, the world's got to be round and it's got to go around the sun. The sun doesn't go around the earth. And they said, you're going to jail for that. That's heresy. It was great science. And listen, the sources of their conclusion was the Bible. Did you know that? Go study that. Go look at that. God says, I sit on the circle of the earth. Well, what does science show us? Exactly that. It's the same God who says in Job 26:7, He, God, stretches out the north over empty space, and he hangs the earth upon nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, Jack, why are you doing this? Because there are religions today, in fact, one of them is invading your child's classroom. And they don't want you to know this. But in their ancient writings, which is supposed to be from God, it says that the sun, for example, or the earth rides on the back of a turtle. Or that when the sun sets, it goes into a pool of mud or of goop. Did you know that? But it's being hidden from people. Why? Because it's false knowledge. It's not God. God says, listen, I hold all of this in the span of my hand. It's nearly, not actually, but nearly infinite, God says. It's a hint. Though it be material, it seems to you on earth, it goes forever. And God says, I've done that. It's the same God who says in Job 38:31, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Did you know that? Job, oldest book in the Bible. God says, hey, Job, I have a constellation. It's called the Pleiades. Look up Pleiades today. You'll go to a lot of NASA websites. Did you know that? How cool is that? Or loose the belt of Orion, you'll see Orion in the sky. Can you bring out Maseroth? That's Hebrew for the Babylonian corruption of Zodiac. God condemns the Zodiac. Why? Because the Zodiac took the Maseroth, the 12 constellations that preached the gospel, 12 constellations of the Maseroth, and the Zodiac twisted it and took it away from God in Babylonianism and corrupted it. That's what Satan does. He's really good at that stuff. For example, I'll give you one clue. The lion would come from the tribe of Judah. Babylonian soothsayers and astrologers took the Babylonian data when they captured Israel and the Hebrew children and converted their worship of Yahweh to Baal worship and said, no, we don't like this lion coming from the tribe of Judah stuff. We're going to call it Leo.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that describes the issues faced by the 21st century Christian. The 21st century Christian, that's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's timely series that addresses Bible prophecy and what we as believers can expect in today's world. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, Pastor Jack is here to tell us about something exciting happening here in Southern California.
That's right, Davey. This Sunday, that's November 10th, we are going to be hosting here, right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Dr. John Lennox. Dr. John Lennox is professor of mathematics at Oxford University, England, and he's here in the Southland for a rare appearance, and we're happy to have him here at our 9:30 and 11:45 services. He can only make it to two of our services that day, so we're going to have special seating, and we hope that all of you would come out, especially those of you who deal with atheists or people who think that science and belief in God is somewhat of a contradiction. Not after you hear Dr. John Lennox. He has no debate or problem at all reconciling both good science and the Bible. So we're going to have a tremendous time. We encourage you to come on out. That's right here, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, at 9:30 and 11:45 for a special time with Dr. John Lennox of Oxford University, England.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.